Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Welcome to the jungle. In Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. A very good Wednesday morning to you. Hope you're having a good day. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. 23 days now until the smack off. All right, lots to cover on this busy Wednesday. Let's get started. The interview is set up like this. David Price, Boston Red Sox pitcher, joins me in 15 minutes. In the meantime, I would encourage you to start dialing 1-800-636-8686. Not every single guest shows up on time. There may be an opportunity for you to get through. I might even bust open the show open for you. 1-800-636-8686. David Price, next segment. Next hour, Arizona Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen. Hour number three, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Miles Michaelis. Three baseball interviews. Can't remember the last time we did that. So those are the interviews. That's how it sets up. You've got your phone number. You know to follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. You know to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. And as I mentioned, you know the smack off is now 23 days out. With regards to that, I thought that I might start to profile the candidates, profile the players, a player profile of one of the participants coming up a little bit later on. So do not waste any time. You've got the phone number. Had a podcast with Charles Barkley. All right, then. When we started doing the original content podcast, the weekly Jim Rome podcast, again, it's not a rehash. It's not repurposed material. It's original content, premium content. When I mentioned that I was going to start doing this 42 episodes ago, one of the very first names that came up that you all were hammering was get Charles Barkley. And we've been trying to do so, and I finally turned that yesterday. So Pod 42 is out right now. And I want to reset the conversation I had with Charles Barkley. One thing I like about that, a number of you have said, Rome, I did not get to the podcast until this one. Or I never listened to a podcast all the way through until this one. So if you're late to this, if you don't get it, if you don't understand it, if you don't know how to find it, we're going to walk you through it one more time. And this is the one you should do it for. Charles Barkley. Ep 42, it's already posted. All right, starting with the NBA. I mean, today is Wednesday, June 27th. You know what that means? It means that LeBron Watch 2018 continues. And the latest news involving LeBron mostly centers around some mysterious tweets that may or may not involve LeBron. Because pretty much that's how desperate everybody has become for any kind of news or information. Charles Barkley and I got into this in the podcast, and even Chuck admitted there's no way to possibly know what's going on in this guy's head. There's no way to know or read what this guy's thinking. So, of course, these tweets may or may not be related to him. Fact of the matter is, nobody, though, is thirstier for LeBron news than Laker fans. I mean, it's funny. Funny in the sense that you would think that Cavs fans would be tripping the hardest over LeBron Watch 2018, but Cavs fans are downright chill compared to Laker fans who need this more than they have ever needed anything. And considering the Lakers did everything they could, including clearing enough cap space to take a run at not one, but two max free agents this summer, it would appear to be a make or break summer for the Lake Show. Then again, Let's not get into that. Because Laker president Magic Johnson says that's not how it is. That it's not about this summer. That it's actually about 2019. Magic said, quote, "I told you this is about two summers. We don't know what people are going to decide, and we can't control that. So if guys decide not to come here, it's not a failure. We turn to next summer," end quote. All right. All right. I see him working. It's actually pretty smart. Lower expectations. Everybody in Lakerland is freaking out right now. So Irv tamps it all down to buy himself some extra time. You know, like, if it doesn't happen this summer, we're still good because next summer's free agent class could include the likes of Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson. So in that sense, it's wise. It's smart to take that approach. Dial everybody down a little bit. Except that's not what Irv did, because then Irv chased that with this.
It's going to be a two-summer thing for the Lakers. This summer and next summer. And that's it. And then if I can't deliver, I'm going to step down myself. She won't have to fire me. I'll step away from it, you know, because then I can't do this job.
Wait, what? Did he just say that he'd walk away if he could not land anybody this summer or next summer? I mean, I'm pretty sure he just did. And I'm pretty sure nobody pressured him into saying that. He just rolled out with that on his own. So, like, everybody is playing penny ante poker, and Magic, though, threw down his watch, his car keys, and the deed to his house. So, he goes from lowering the expectations about this summer to cranking them up to 11 for these two summers. If I don't get someone in the next two summers, I'm going to bounce. I'm out of here. So, either he's sure about something nobody else is sure about, or my man's getting loose in a wild way. I mean, when was the last time you saw a GM or a team president put that kind of pressure on themselves for no reason whatsoever? Never. Never. If anything, once you get in that chair, you're constantly trying to dial down the pressure because people outside are cranking it up. They're running to hit. Oh, Alvy. No, you didn't. What I said was, you're constantly trying to dial down the pressure while everybody on the outside is looking to crank it up. Like, they're running to hit the heat, and you're trying to pump the AC. Except old Magic, he grabbed a Bunsen burner, put it under his own chair, and did so for no apparent reason. And honestly, I'm not sure if I respect it or if I'm just confused by it. A lot of both, actually. I mean, like, I dig the fact that he's holding himself to a standard like that. I just know that almost nobody else in that position, or really any other position, would ever do something like that. Especially a guy like Magic, who's a legend, an icon. He's so beloved, no Laker fan would ever push that guy out of a job, even if he did strike out 2 years in a row. But Magic is doing it to himself. I mean, it's crazy. Or crazy like a fox. Either he feels really good about what's about to happen, I mean, like, really good, or he's talking a lot of mess. Staking your job on it when nobody is asking you to stake your job on it is either incredibly awesome or it's just reckless. And here's the other thing. It's not like he made some vague statement like, if I don't eventually get the job done, then we could talk about whether or not I should do that job. That's not what he's doing. He's saying, if I miss in free agency this summer and next summer, I'm out of here. I mean, literally daring everybody to start the Magic countdown clock. So he's got to be feeling the heat. He's got to be feeling the pressure, right? Nope, not Madge.
No pressure on me. I'm going to do my job. I've always done that. Look, I've been playing in, you know how many finals I've been in? So you think I'm worried about this? I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I mean, come on, man. I've been in 9 finals. You know, I've been in college NCAA championship. I'm Magic Johnson. I'm still the same dude. I'm not going to change.
As in scoreboard, look up at it. I'm Magic Johnson. Who the hell are you? So he's out there showing his resume and putting it up against everybody else's. I like it. And back that up, come through with LeBron and Paul George. And they should put another statue outside of Staples up for him. But there is risk. High risk, high reward, because Magic is essentially spiking the football before getting into the end zone. And you know, there are a lot of front office personnel around that NBA league, or around the association, who would love to remind everybody that beating Larry Bird in the finals has got nothing to do with signing LeBron James in free agency, and that going to 9 finals has got nothing to do with making a good pitch to a free agent. In other words, there are a ton of front office folk who could never ever dunk on Magic on the court, but would love to put this cat on a poster in free agency and then flex and watch Magic pack his bags. All because of something he said that he didn't have to say. Now you're on the clock, Irv. And the only reason you are is because you put yourself there. And now we'll see if you can back it up. And also this whole thing about it's not about this year. It's not about 1 year. That's unreasonable. We need 2 years. Yes and no. It is about this year. Everything they've done was set up for them to pounce, for them to strike right now. It wasn't for 2019. It was for 2018 and 2019 if need be. But don't say this summer doesn't matter. This summer matters a hell of a lot. Kawhi is out there, allegedly. Paul George is absolutely out there. LeBron is out there. If they come away from this with nothing, don't tell me that's not a problem. Don't tell me that doesn't matter. Of course it does.
I'm Magic Johnson.
And you're not. You know, I get it. I get it. Come on, Jim. It's an email. Come on, Jim. Irv has been successful at every single thing he's done. He will figure this thing out. Sincerely. Talk show host, NBA coach, author, TV analyst. Drew in West LA. Listen, my man's a tycoon. He's an unbelievable businessman. Very, very savvy. Sharp, aggressive. This guy's made a hell of a lot of money. I'd argue that he's done almost as well off the floor as he did on the floor, if not as well. But you're right, not everything this guy touches turns to gold. And just because he had all that success on the floor doesn't mean he's going to have it in the front office. And this summer does matter. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. They've cleared enough space to bring in 2 max guys. And if they get nobody to take that money, it's one thing when people were saying no to Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak. It'd be quite another for people to say no to Irv. And to a certain extent, Rob Pelinka. They're working their plan. I like the plan. Unless nobody says yes. Nobody who matters. Dear Rome, if you connect the dots, Hawks New Inc. means Braun is either headed to Phoenix or Portland instead of LA. See us working? Regards, crazed Laker Nation looking for Braun clues. Gino in Boise, Idaho. Yes, I do see it working. Like I said, the Cavalier fans should be tripping harder on LeBron watch 2018 than anybody, but they're not. Laker fan is even worse. Laker fan will connect any dot they see. Rome, if the Lakers can't do anything this summer or next summer, they'll have to do something the summer after that. Signed, Ira.
If they can get tonight, I could see this thing done in 4 or 5. If not, I think it's going to go probably 6 or 7.
Good point, Ira. Well stated, Ira. All right, in addition to that, Lakers, Magic. I mentioned Charles Barkley finally made it onto the podcast. I want to reset that for you. I've got some sound bites from it to give you an idea of how that went, and also part of your voicemails make it to air. The Clippers did a deal. There no longer is a father-son combination in the NBA. Austin Rivers dealt. It's going to make for a rather awkward Thanksgiving dinner, as they like to say. You understand that Doc is no longer running that team, that Doc's not calling those shots, but don't think that they're going to trade the coach's son without the coach signing off on that, at least being aware of it, and then signing off on that. Tiger Woods update, if I have to. I've got one for you. And I'm going to profile at least one smack-off participant. All of that's coming up. I've got David Price coming up next segment, Mike Hazen next hour, Miles Michaelis coming up in the third hour. Summer's here, you know that. And so is the unbearably hot weather that comes along with it. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer, and then think about the time we spend in our cars during the same time. You know how that heat can just suck the life right out of you? Imagine what it does to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want to make sure your car is at peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have that battery tested for free. Free. If it needs replacing, the professional parts people there will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, go to O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, we're hitting the phone lines hard. I like that. Good to see it. One phone line open, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Those telephone calls coming up momentarily, but first things first, as promised, we are joined by a Red Sox pitcher, 2012 Cy Young Award winner. He is a five-time All-Star. For the season, he is 9-5, an ERA of 3.66, but 7-1 in his last nine starts. The Red Sox are 53-27. The Angels are at Boston tonight, 7:10 p.m. Eastern start. We are joined by Red Sox pitcher David Price. David, good to have you back. How are you?
I appreciate it. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you, David. So you're coming off a start where you went six innings, you struck out seven, and you allowed one earned run in a win over the Angels, 9-1. Let me start right there. How pleased were you with that performance?
It was good, you know, just to get us off on the right foot in that first game of the series. You know, I feel like that's if there's one area I feel like we haven't done as well as we feel like we should, it's that opening game of a series. So for us to come out and swing the bat the way that we did yesterday and to play defense and just to overall play a really good game, that was good for us to do that.
And then there was that moment in the third inning when you had bases loaded, Albert Pujols was at the plate, you got him to ground out. When you're facing a guy like Pujols, who you know can do so much damage with a single swing, what was your mindset in that at bat?
Just make pitches. You know, that was gave up a solo home run to Chris Young with one out, and then I got that second out, and then I had back-to-back singles, and then a walk to Justin Upton to face a guy that has swung the bat against me really well, and swung the bat against, you know, a lot of others really well. You know, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, and just had to bear down and make pitches right there. You know, I didn't want to walk him, so I knew I needed to throw strikes, and he's not a guy that chases out of the strike zone a whole lot. So I just needed to really make quality pitches.
Red Sox starting pitcher David Price, my guest. You know, you've been dominant lately. It seems like you're completely locked in. So when you're on a roll like the one you're on right now, does it feel different when you go to the park? In other words, does momentum carry over from one start to the next, or do you have to build it back up again with every single start?
You definitely know whenever you're rolling and you're throwing the ball well, and it's easy to go out there and to throw strikes and to execute the pitches that you're throwing. But I feel like, you know, it's a start-to-start basis. And you've got to go out there and feel like you need to prove something every fifth day. And that's the way I view that. And I've always viewed that the same way. So, every start for me is a new day.
We are talking to David Price. David, J.D. Martinez homered again last night. He's got 24 for the season. I mean, this team already had a really nice lineup, but what has he brought to that lineup and to the clubhouse since he joined the team?
I think people just kind of seeing his preparation, you know, seeing how much he puts into his swing and into just the video and then breaking down the pitchers. And he views it a lot differently than, I guess, really anybody else that I've ever been around. So you know, he's really bought into it, and it's something that works really well for him. And, you know, he's taught a lot of our guys, you know, the same stuff. You know, Mookie's always in his ear. They're always breaking down different types of things. So I know Mookie's benefited from JD, and, you know, I know a lot of other guys as well. He was a big piece for us to add, and he's done everything we need him to.
David Price joining us. Now, you're scheduled to face the Yankees on Sunday, but after last night's game, you were joking about the fact that you might not be able to go. David, tell me about this. From the outside, it seems like you're joking around with the media more than ever before. Has that been a conscious thing, or is that something that just kind of happened?
I mean, it's just having a personality, you know. That's that's all you're trying to do. You know, just have fun with it. And, you know, if it's viewed the wrong way, or your words get twisted around, so be it. You know, you can't control what's said and all that. So just go out there and have fun. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is a game. We got to treat it that way.
You know, the season's been really interesting in the sense that you were diagnosed with carpal tunnel, and there was talk that it had come from Fortnite. At that point, your ERA was not in a place you would have liked, and it would have been easy to panic, except since then you've gone on an absolute tear, going 7-1 in your last 9 starts. I mean, what changed, or did nothing change, and everything just started to click?
I don't think anything changed. I just started throwing the ball better. You know, we had a shorter spring training, you know, this year. So just, coming out after my first 2 games, you know, I went 7 shut my first 2 starts against Tampa and back-to-back starts. So that was a good way to start it. And then, you know, the game against New York, I gave up 4 runs in the first inning, and that was all I threw. And I guess my next start was against L.A., and then I pitched, you know, in Texas and gave up the 10 spot. So that's really putting yourself behind the 8-ball whenever you know, have 2 out of 3 outings where you give up 14 runs. But, you know, since then, I feel like I've thrown more quality strikes. And, you know, I feel like at times when I've gotten hurt this year, it's been with 2 outs. You know, I've made really good pitches to get to 2 outs, and then not being able to limit that damage. You know, once you get 2 outs, that's probably the most frustrating thing as a pitcher.
We're talking to David Price. Hey, David, one of the things you talked about in spring training, something your teammates have talked about, is your role as a leader. How do you go about approaching leadership? And then who were some of the guys that you looked up to when you were coming up?
I don't think it's something that you really think about. You know, you don't wake up one day and you're like, all right, you know, I'm going to be a leader today. You know, it's just something that, you know, people at this level probably have done for a long time, you know, in their careers. You know, we were all the stud at one point on whatever team we were on, and, you know, guys are going to look up to you. And that's the way it's been my entire life. So, you know, I just try and go out there and do things the right way and treat my teammates the way that, you know, I wanted to be treated whenever I was a young guy, and just, you know, take it day by day.
You know, I think back to your time in Tampa Bay, and Gabe Kapler, who is now managing the Phillies, was one of your teammates there. You said he was somebody that you learned from. What was your biggest takeaway from your time with him?
I guess just perspective on everything. You know, he was one of my favorite teammates that I've ever been teammates with, and just sitting there, you know, having conversation on the bench, you know, on days that he wasn't playing, you know, just when we talked about everything, just life in general. And that was really cool. You know, I always thought Gabe, you know, had a very good baseball mind and knew that he would be super successful if he ever got a chance to manage a team. You know, I know his first week or so didn't go the way that he wanted it to, but, you know, he's, you know, rallied the troops since then, and they've played a lot better baseball.
Red Sox starter David Price joining me for a few more moments. David, we're about a year removed from the opening of the Miracle Field that you're involved with in Murfreesboro. Last fall, you had a chance to show up and surprise some of the athletes who were playing there. What was that experience like for you?
Man, that was it's hard to put it into words. That was very special, you know, just to see how happy all the kids were, to hear the stories from the parents, the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters, you know, just to, you know, and it wasn't a mom or a dad or mom and dad that brought their child out there. It was their entire family, you know, those grandparents, sisters, cousins, you know, they rolled so deep, and I thought that was so special, you know, that everybody really rallied behind their kids in that way, and just to go out there and be a part of it. You know, it was very cool. You know, I just really enjoyed seeing how much fun all the kids had, just the smiles on their faces, and, you know, hearing their name called out when it was their turn to hit, and then they have their own walk-up song they got to pick, and just stuff like that. You know, that's really cool. I wish I could have a walk-out song.
Really, really cool. And for those who don't know, the Miracle Fields create an environment for children and adults with special needs and in wheelchairs so they can play baseball. David, your son Xavier is already walking and even playing a little bit of soccer around the house. How is X doing these days?
I mean, he's doing so good. He's he's growing real fast. He's getting big. You know, just sleeping well, eating well, doing everything a 13-month-old baby does. So we're extremely blessed to have him, and to be a father for that first time is something that, you know, I really, really enjoy.
I think any father, David, can speak to this, especially the first time. It's so overwhelming, and you get so caught up. Have you remembered to put everything in his left hand?
My wife and I were actually talking about the other night. I guess it was the other morning. He was eating breakfast, and I put my hands over his ears, and I was talking to him, and whenever I covered his ears, he realized he couldn't hear me, and he thought that was really cool whenever I would say his name, and he could see my lips moving but couldn't hear any words. And then he started trying to cover his own ears with his hands, and he would put his right ear right on his right ear, and his left ear would go on top of his head or over his eye or on his chin. I was like, I think that might mean he's right-handed, babe, so we need to work on this. And it was pretty funny, but right now, he kind of uses both hands for everything.
That's fun. Boston's 53-27. They're at home against the Angels. David Price, 7-1 in his last 9 starts. David, great to have you on. Appreciate the conversation, as always, David. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim.
David Price, Red Sox starter, and he has been lights out. 7-1 over his last 9, 9-5 overall, and they're playing great baseball, and he's pitching really well. All right, we will break. And we're open until the top of the hour. Top of the hour, Arizona Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen. But open segment next. What do you want to do with it? 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I'm well aware that a major leaguer pooped himself. Again, just because I've not referenced something does not mean that I'm not aware of it. It means I didn't reference something. I know that. Just as I know that there was a dead body found in Janoris Jenkins' home. Allegedly. Well, actually. So I'm aware of all these stories, clones. Like, you would know something that I don't already know. Because I haven't brought it up doesn't mean A, I don't know, or B, that I won't get to it. So keep doing what you do. One phone line is open.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wednesday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. Again, do not tweet it to me. If you want the question read, send it there. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Phone line's banging on this Wednesday. I like it. I'm not sure why it is, but I like it. I mean, more so than normal. And I think part of that is, I mentioned, the Smack Off is 23 days out. I mentioned I'm going to profile one of the players later on in the program. Maybe there's a topic you want to hit, and it has nothing to do with the Smack Off. I don't know why it is. I just know the phone lines are lit. So let's get at it. We go to the ABQ. If I'm going to Albuquerque, there's a better than average chance on the other end of that line is Rex in the ABQ. Rex still does not have a golden ticket. And as I always say, Rex has to decide who and what he wants to be. Do you want to be that guy that comes in and gets run every single time for a couple of cheap laughs? Or do you want to be a guy who's playing on the biggest stage for $5,000 on the most important day of the year? I'm not even sure Rex knows, but maybe we'll have a better idea after I take this telephone call. Let's find out. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, Rex, you're first up. Good morning.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, Rex. How are you?
I'm great. You know, as someone who regularly suffers from gastric distress, I feel uniquely qualified to speak on the Archie Bradley situation. You may recall the incident where I turned the molten Morton's lava cake around in my car on the way home. It's nothing to joke about, clones. He suffers from the same rare medical condition as I, which is called AFMR. That stands for Accidental Fecal Matter Release Syndrome.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Rex, I'm no doctor, and you're no proctologist, but I don't think that's what he suffers from. And I don't need you diagnosing him either. Run again, Rex. He's talking about pitcher Archie Bradley. And when I see this story, you know how this is really funny. I think a lot of times throughout the course of my career, I've wanted you to see something happen at night and think to yourself, damn, I got to find out what Rome has to say about this. And I think to a large extent, that still goes on. Unfortunately, the flip side of that is when I see something, my mind goes to, great, what are the clones going to do with this and how do I keep it off my program? This is an example of that. Now, if for whatever reason you did not see this story, and I'm assuming that if you listened to the program, you probably did. If not, Archie Bradley had an accident. He had an issue. He went on the Yahoo Baseball podcast with Tim Brown, and he talked about what happened. He was asked, you know, what's the most unfortunate thing or embarrassing thing that has happened to you this year? And amazingly enough, my man answered the question.
I'll just tell it. It's actually this year. I was warming up to go in a game, and I knew I had the next hitter. I knew he was on deck. And the at-bat was kind of taken a little bit. You know, as a bullpen guy in these big situations, I call them nervous pees. I don't have to pee a lot, but I know I have to pee before I go in the game. I can't believe I'm telling you this. So it's a 2-2 count, and I'm like, man, I have to pee. I have to go pee. So I run in our bathroom real quick. I'm ready to go, and I'm trying to pee. I actually shit my pants.
Oh.
Oh. Is right. That's what Rex is referring to. And I knew that when Rex started his call with the phrase gastric distress, that it was not going to be a long call. I knew that. But in terms of Archie Bradley, there is more where that came from.
Like right before I'm about to go in the game, I pooped my pants.
Okay.
I'm like, oh my gosh, like I know I'm a pitcher away from going in the game. So I'm scrambling to clean myself up. I get it cleaned up the best I can, button my pants up. Our bullpen coach, Mike Ferris, said, hey, you're in the game. So I'm jogging into the game to pitch with poop in my pants.
I mean, dude's telling this story. I don't know if he was afraid that if he didn't tell it and get out there with a preemptive strike, somebody would expose him, but he went all in. And if he was going to go all in and tell that story, he was going to go all in and finish it.
I did check the mirror. I checked the, you know, white pants were at home, and I actually told my teammates, I stepped out the bathroom. I was like, hey, am I okay? I just shit myself. Like, I'm about to go into this game. And they didn't believe me. They didn't believe me until they unfortunately saw the mess in the bathroom because I didn't have time. I was like, I got to go in the game. And so it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been on the mound.
And
I actually had a good inning. I had a clean inning, and I walked in the dugout, and I was like, guys, I just shit myself.
It's incredible. And by the way, dude, you did not have a clean inning. That's a given. I can't say how much I respect this guy, not only for doing it, I guess, and going out there and getting the job done, but for showing up after the fact and telling that story, sharing that story. You know, if I did that and somebody said to me, hey, Rome, what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you this year or any other year prior to doing a show? If I had pooped myself before the show, I'm just keeping that story in my back pocket. So credit to Arch for going there. Zero credit to you clones for thinking that you could handle that story responsibly because you can't. And we're just going to stop right there. Rex ruined it for all of you. At TFP Will Eat tweets, don't let that Archie Bradley poop story hamper. Where's the ding, Alvin? Get it? Don't let that Archie Bradley poop story hamper your ability to do today's show. Regards, Najee. Nice use of the word hamper. Wow. Archie Bradley actually responding to Denlesks on Twitter. Denlesks, this has got to be a dream come true, right? You got an athlete to respond to you. Denlesks tweets, Arizona Diamondbacks Archie Bradley becomes the first pitcher to lead his team in runs. And Archie Bradley, blue check verified, respond to Denlesks by saying, well played, sir. Well played. He shopped in, because Lesks had to shop something in, he shopped in a toilet on the mound with that tweet. Archie retweeted Denlesks with a comment and a laughter emoji. Wow, bro. Walk off on that, Denlesks. Just walk off on that. And by walking off on that, I mean quit. Just quit. It'll never get any better. You got a verified blue checker to respond to one of your shop jobs. Incredible. Walk off on that, man. Retire on that. It will never, ever, ever get any better than that, I'm telling you. Hawk, what's up? B. Crawford 70. Answer the question when I said to Rex, hey, Rex, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? This guy answered it. You be you, Rex. At 707-331-B tweets, Rex being Rex. Love this dude's calls. Ed in Austin, get yourself run, Rex. It's what you do. It's what we love. Hey, listen, maybe this guy does not aspire to winning the Smack-Off. Maybe he doesn't want to be there. Maybe this is who he is. So whenever I say, hey, Rex, who do you want to be? What do you want to do? Maybe he's already answered the question. This is who he is. And a lot of you clones like what he does. All right, back at it. I know this guy, but not as a caller. This guy is an excellent emailer. I see him on the email all the time. And I've seen people try to make that jump from the email to the phones. It almost never, ever works. Let's find out whether or not this guy gets it. If we go to Pittsburgh, Roland. Hey, Roland, what's up? I appreciate your emails. Nice to have you on. How are you?
Romy, thanks for the vine, brother. How's it going?
Good, bud. How about you?
Good, man. I just ripped pod 42 with Sir Charles here at work, and I'm happy the pod has finally reached the ripe old age of 42. It's still living its best life, like a 20-something irate Craig boozing and baking with Mike Piazza. Unfortunately, some of the clones aren't aging as gracefully at the age of 42. First of all, Mike in Indy is hitting his midlife crisis, Romy. He disappeared from the show. He spends his days thinking about how Les and McGimmy Beach is spending the 10th GER that he won the last 2 years. Hey, Mike, get over it. We all know you would have just spent that money bribing Chael to hang out with you one more time anyway. And how about Brad and Corona? I remember when he was the highest-paid smack-off caller in history. Now the only time you can talk about cash is during his weak Canadian currency resets. And I wasn't even going to include this guy, but I feel like I have to now. Rex and the ABQ, just because you're getting older and the doctor recommended you wear Depends doesn't mean you need to bring your crappy takes into the jungle. And finally, Jason in Fullerton. Actually, you know what, Romy? I'm happy for this guy. At the age of 42, he's finally a booker and a caller for a radio show, called Screener for Radio Show, except for the fact that he was doing that for your show 15 years ago. That's all I got, pimp. Congrats on another great pod. We're the podcast churning out more premium content over the next 42 apps. And Ward James Kelly tattooing the stuck nut smack-off odds on his six head. I'm out.
See you, Roland. I was going to say Rex because the Rex reaction's pouring in still. All right, so Roland takes a run at Mike and Indy for being in a midlife crisis. Again, I don't know what's going on with Mike. I've not heard from Mike since his last smack-off call. In case you missed it, we've got a new rule change for the smack-off. It's the Left in Laguna rule, not the Mike and Indy rule. A number of you seem to think that I changed the rules to placate Mike, and that's not what I did. I did change the rules. There is now officially a rule. You cannot storm the studio. On the smack-off, the day of the smack-off, you cannot roll up in here the way Lef has. And I did that not to keep him out of the studio, but I did that to keep all of you out of the studio. I've got enough going on the day of the smack-off, especially now that it's going to be carried on CBS Sports Network on television without you trying to knock down my door and come in here and jack up the proceedings. It was fun while it lasted, and now it's over. So that's the Left rule, not the Mike in Indy rule. I don't know what's going on with Mike. I hope that Mike is sandbagging. I hope that Mike is lying in wait. I hope that Mike is working his call. But I haven't gotten an RSVP, and I really don't know what the guy's up to. Just know, I did not change that rule because Mike was bent that he got beat by Left 2 years in a row. That's not why I did that. Yeah, Mike had a problem with that. But so did a number of others have a problem with that. They thought it was an unfair home field advantage because Left lives not that far from here. That there was an unlevel playing field, that he could do it, but maybe somebody else being a part of that show could not do it because they didn't have the wherewithal, they couldn't get there, they couldn't take time off, they couldn't afford it, whatever. Hey, this solves that problem. Nobody can come in now. This email says, hey, Rex, stop calling. Signed, Chris Olivero, Tyler Hale, and Eric Spitz. David in Buffalo, War of the Bills winning it all in the next 5 years. I don't know what I'm more impressed with. you getting the names of all the suits? Or are you thinking that the Bills are going to win it all in 5 years? Hey, Rome, did Archie say that he was a pitch away from going in the game or a pinch away? Steven PHX. That's clever, Steve. Really quick on your feet, bro. Stop emailing me. Rooster Jones 3 tweets, Jim, if you're profiling smack-off contestants, you can find mine on the side of a milk carton signed the De La Creme Kid in Indy. He is not RSVP'd. He's not called. I have no idea what Mike's doing. If Mike really had a huge problem with Lef being allowed to storm the studio, there it is, Mike. He's not anymore. He can't do it. I haven't heard from Lef yet either. We're going to find out what kind of game he has. Is he a gimmicky little bitch, quote unquote, or does this guy have the best smack that there is, and can he win without that device? I know Lef will be here. I don't know if Mike will or not. I don't know if Vic will or not. When we come back, Arizona Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen joins us. Miles Michaelis, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, coming up in hour number three, and those phone lines are still open. Bang the phones. Get up in here. It is smack-off season. We're 23 days out.